there's a movement happening. Some call it Reformation. Others call it Holy Discontent. We call it the Resistance. Traditions and harmful teachings have kept the bride captive for centuries. We will explore these systems and contrast them with God's design. Join us as we discuss God's patterns for life, ministry, and most importantly, His church. We will do this with scripture, testimony, music, and satire. We are resisting the system and embracing the design. We are the Resistance.
So we've been talking about creative expression, art, music.
We've been expressing that creatively.
We sure have. And we scooted past some stuff. So before we go on into testimonies, last song we heard was Nicole Nordeman's testimony. It was really great.
Yeah.
Sanford's going to back the dump truck up and dump a bunch of stuff on you.
That.
Do it, dump truck.
You said that. Well, we were talking about Rhema and Logos, and I had some specific scriptures Acts that used the word Rhema there that had significance when God was showing me how He was using Rhema with art to express things that He is revealing. The first one was from Acts 2:14, where Peter asked the crowd to give heed to his Rhema before he preaches the message. And then thousands end up coming to the Lord that day. So it was pretty spectacular.
It was one of the best come to Jesus meetings I ever had.
That's what I'm talking about. And then in Acts 5:20, some of the apostles basically go to jail because they're, causing a ruckus, whatnot. Pharisees are getting jealous and they're getting the authorities all
riled up.
Up in their face to get them in prison. And when they're in prison, an angel comes and lets them out. And gives him a jail free card, kind of like Monopoly money. and so then that angel says, "Go stand and speak to the people in the temple." The whole Rhema of this life. So previous to this, and that had significance for me because he's not saying go preach this Logos where it's like, it's just the 2D word and it's not going to have a huge impact. It's like go declare what I've revealed to you. And speak it in that way, in the fashion that you're inspired by the Holy Spirit.
What I was going to say. The most interesting thing is you can't speak Rhema without the Holy Spirit accompanying you. So the angel's basically telling him, go and speak, and this is what's going to happen.
Right, exactly.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, which touches on our talking earlier about having that unity with Christ in that creative
expression. Oh, yeah.
That's when you're doing it right, is when you have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Right. So Rhema is the way that God is revealing Himself. And it's not actually bound by words of expression because it's spiritual truth. So it can be events. It can, basically what I saw in Acts 5 was that, or I'm sorry, let me see here. No, it was in Acts 2. Basically, Peter is relating the story of Jesus coming to earth and
all those people killing him.
Right, and all those people killing him. So he's basically saying, this is he's
this
accusing
is the Lord
them.
Whom you killed.
Yeah, exactly. And he's recounting events, like true events. So those events in themselves revealed truth, and that's what he was expressing. That's right, Terry.
Play the drum over there? Or
anyway,
what?
So God revealed that, and that was my point. So we can go on now.
No, we cannot go on because one of the things that you just go ahead, Jason. I won't lose my thought.
Goodness, well, I won't lose mine. It's written
I lose
down.
My thoughts.
Oh, mine's not. So what I just realized is that we're talking about corruption, and if the truest form of creative expression, whether it be preaching like Paul was talking about, or whether it be music like you guys are relating it to, comes only whenever the Holy Spirit's inspiration is there.
Definitely.
Then one of the major corruptions of those two forms of expression today are in the church and in the music contracts.
Absolutely.
Where the pastor's told he has to preach that sermon every Sunday.
For sure.
Well, so are the worship leaders.
Yes. And then also you got to get a contract for 6 albums in the next 5 years. And that's presuming the Holy Spirit's going to be obligated by your contract.
Exactly. One of the reasons I really love, the bumper music with Sean Groves. And me and my wife had the pleasure of meeting Sean Groves a couple of years back at just a small church out in the suburbs.
Did you arm wrestle him?
No. But we had a good conversation. And me having, written some songs under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, like talk to him on that level. And I was like, so when's the next time you're coming out with an album? He's like, that's totally up to God, man. And I'm like, I know exactly what you're talking about. So he knew. He was on that level. He was saying, you know, God's the one who's making this music, not me. So,
yeah.
Which is cool because he used to have a record contract,
yeah.
You know, different stuff. And he was basically in the industry. And even in that, he made some really spectacular music. One of the songs that we're going to listen to tonight is from one of his earlier albums.
Absolutely is.
But then he got away from that and basically funded his whole last album for like $20,000 or something like that. But he funded it out of his own pocket or raised support or something like that. So he's not in a contract anymore and just making music outside the industry.
Yeah, he is essentially now an independent artist. And right. One thing, I don't really, you know, I'm not really here to like puff anybody up, but it's like I see in his music making that he has a vision for his music. Like there's a purpose, it's clear, and I think that he accomplishes it. And we can get into the vision stuff later. But so one thing that when you know, Samford, were coming to me and talking about the Rhema and creative expression thing, essentially what I saw was that, so godly creative expression is to art as Rhema is to Logos. So there's essentially this deeper thing going on. So like right. Anybody, you know, like we were saying, can essentially sing notes or strum strings or move a paintbrush. They can do the physical acts, you know, just mm-hmm. like the black and white words on a page.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be incredibly skilled at that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the Rhema of creative expression that is flowing out of the heart from something that God's done or is doing, and it's revealing something of him. And like we were saying, as that psalm indicated, it's ultimately directed at him, even though it might not be saying, oh God, you are blah, blah, blah. And so there's a depth of and motivation that goes beyond the physical movements. And man, so that's kind of the...
Just reminds me of that song that... I'm just going to go on a limb here that Danny wrote that we heard this past weekend. And it's just a spectacular song.
Oh, yeah.
The one she couldn't sing without crying through.
Yeah.
Right.
So. And it's just like that just, you know, like that was a pouring out of her heart to God, with God the whole time, and just that fellowship. And it's just like that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. Like that Nicole Norderman song, it was basically a picture of her developing relationship with God through immense pain and turmoil.
And it's profitable for anybody who is interacting with God. You know, like anybody who hears it, it inspire them, pierce to their heart, and give them comfort, give them whatever, imparts spiritual things to them.
Yeah.
So
speaking of testimonies, because we just were.
We are.
I think we can enter that part of the notes. It's in bold print and everything. So we, being the four of us in this room and our associates, mainly family, we emphasize testimonies in creative expression. It's kind of a core value of ours. We do it. We write songs about our testimonies because your testimony is a weapon. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him, being the enemy, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. So mm-hmm. there you go. That's one of the ways you overcome. So a testimony is authenticity, even if, like the song that we heard from our friend Danny, it involves sin or doubt or anger or struggle. Even when it looks like the words of David, when he's begging God to tell him how long he'll be ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the artists that we featured on this show have included their testimonies in their lyrics, just like the Nicole Norderman song. So they're telling of what God has done, which, as we had mentioned last week, it happens a lot in Scripture. They're testifying, say, oh God, you did this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're testifying to what they've seen and heard, and they're saying that God is who he says he is and that he is their Lord. And not only does their creation declare his glory, but it connects with people like you guys are saying, who have similar struggles, showing them that God is faithful to overcome.
Well, it's interesting to say, like you said, they're testifying what they've seen and heard. So it's not just what they've seen with their eyes or heard with their ears.
Right.
It's what's been revealed to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's the deeper truth. Just like Jesus says, you know, you have ears, listen.
Well, I think there's a knowledge of God that comes with being entirely out of options or ropes to grab for. And he's everything that you could ever hope to have, and he shows you who he is.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it happen with, you know, when we share testimonies, either if we're preaching them or if we're, you know, singing them, you know, that we've seen them move on people. And I remember the, you know, one of the times that when we were playing for a group that came to the cafe and we preached our testimonies, we played some songs, and Sanford, you got your song about the pain with you and your father. And afterwards, I was talking to this kid, and he was just, like, so moved that we were willing to do that. And then he, like, man, like, not even 2 minutes in the conversation, he starts just pouring his heart out how he's just, like, hit rock bottom in his depression. And, like, he's actually happy about that because the only thing he has to look forward to is going up from where he was. And I'm just like, oh, well, hey, all right.
Gets down to the nitty-gritty.
And but it's like, that's what that does. That's what it can unlock, because it connects and says, hey,
yeah,
I've been there too, but God intervened.
And it really just shows forth like how God interacts. It's like you said, if a person hasn't found that kind of relationship yet, and then somebody displays it through expressing something, then they're like, oh, then they know that that's available to them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so I really, really wanted to read this verse because it's great. It's from Psalm 66, and it's actually two separate verses. It's 5 and 16. But it basically expresses this idea. It says, come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. Which is, man, seriously, it's like, what better way, you know, to connect to somebody? It's like, oh, yeah, man, I won the lottery, or, man, he got that car. It's like, I'm telling you what he did for my soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, any other thoughts on testimony before we move on?
No, but you ought to do your next song and a commercial break back-to-back, probably
think,
now.
You think
yeah,
so?
Might as well. Since you missed a whole commercial break in the first hour. We might as well.
They're just commercials for us.
I know. Might as well
do the whole one time. So we're going to get ready to talk into the authority. So, like, testimonies, authenticity, authority, basically – what you're saying comes with authority because that's your life. And when we last week were tossing around this idea of creative expression and the depths of it and authority, like the first guy that comes to my mind is Keith Green, because Keith Green obviously sing lots of songs about a lot of different stuff. Some were really prophetic and some were really intimate and some were really goofy and some of them were all three. But Keith lived ministry. Like, you look into it, and I'm not like, again, I'm not trying to like puff him up. He's not like Superman or anything. I'm sure he had all sorts of, you know, shortcomings and whatnot. But
he really liked video games.
He might have.
That's what his wife said on the website.
That's ridiculous. but he, you know, he discipled people. He gave of himself, and he walked a ministry. He walked with God. He had a passion. He, you know, wasn't afraid of his testimony. And so he had a knowledge of God that he then expressed. And all that expression came out of his walking with God and his walking in ministry. And I think it gave authority to the things that he was saying. So when he's singing the sheep and the goats, he's not just, oh, here's some scripture that I put some words to or some music to. He's saying, here's what God's shown me. Here's what I'm trying to live because I know it's what God wants. So this song is Oh Lord, You're Beautiful, which is somewhat of a more popular song of his because mm-hmm. it's really pretty and not prophetic. But I wanted it because it showed
amen.
Not only the intimacy that he had with God, but this longing to know him and to see him, and kind of like that Rich Mullins song we played last week of you know, Lord, I see you, you know, you lead me. It's that same longing and realization that, like, he just wants God before him all the time. So yeah. He's seeing that and expressing that.
Oh, Lord, You're beautiful.
As you may know, all the hosts of the Resistance Radio Show are missionaries with Sun Ministries, and Sun Ministries has just opened a new social enterprise, the Second Chance Bazaar. It's a unique retail space that is part thrift shop, part handmade goods market. In addition to secondhand items, we make tote and messenger bags from repurposed burlap coffee sacks, furniture from recycled pallet wood, and we have a variety of other items that our missionaries and employees make right here in Hyde Park. Please consider visiting if you are ever in the St. Louis area. Second Chance Bazaar is located at 1500 Salisbury in St. Louis, Missouri, just across the street from our very own Sun Cafe and Market.
I was born into a system constructed for failure. It's a sinking ship being manned by drunken sailors. An escape artist behind the bars of a jailer. An asthmatic attack and they withhold the inhaler.
Whoops.
Welcome back, everybody. Slapped by reality that we are on the air.
Who's on the air?
We.
You got slapped
the Resistance
by air.
Radio Show on the Reformation Radio Network.
Is that who we are?
You're slacking this week, I'm telling
Apparently.
You.
I want other people to feel the joy that I feel whenever I have to do that, so it's your turn.
Should tell me that before the show.
Well.
It's appropriate.
So before our break, we heard Keith Green, who, in my humble opinion, is a very authoritative musician, according to my definition of authority that I'm about to give you.
There you go.
So, creative expression. We're talking about expressing with authority. So, people were moved by what Jesus preached because he preached with authority. It says it in the Bible. The Bible? The Bible. That's the Logos.
Bible.
We just talked about that. And not like their teachers did. So I take this to mean that he not only had deep conviction about what he preached, which is a big deal because some people don't, he had a deep knowledge of it that came by doing it.
Yeah.
I say it's because that whenever you have a deep knowledge of it and a deep conviction of it, and it all comes from doing it, it produces passion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And passion is generally perceived as authority.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, I mean, Jesus constantly testified that he came from God and... You know what I'm saying? Like, he was sent here. He's like, I don't speak anything on my own initiative.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I only speak what the Father speaks.
Right.
So he's...
I've always told people when I was training for sales, if you speak loudly and clearly and with authority, people will believe you.
Yeah.
And it's really true. It's when you have that passion around you that it makes you more believable.
Yeah. So he knew what he preached because that was what he was living, right? So he wasn't a hypocrite. You know, even a passionate hypocrite's still a hypocrite. So he was very authentic. And when people meet deep conviction that's backed up with a steadfast walk and understanding, I think it's really alarming. I think they don't, you know, interact with that on a regular basis. And these people certainly weren't, even from their top teachers.
Well, especially if, you're going around preaching things that are contrary to other people's lifestyles.
Right.
Like, you know.
Not like we ever experienced that.
Right.
No.
They're going to hear that, and they're going to be like, oh, well, what does this mean about me? Because that's what everybody thinks whenever they hear stuff like that.
Right. Well, man, we experienced that today. We were talking to that guy that we hired, and, you know, at the end, he's like, you know, they're commending us basically for the work that we do. And Terry, you're like, well, that's wasn't our idea.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't think of it.
And it's like,
make this all up.
I just told him, like, look, we don't have an option. You know, it's like, me and my wife Amy were just talking about, you know, kind of our struggles and stuff. And I'm like, man, you know, I used to have a life, and it was really dumb.
Yeah.
You know, really sucked and it was pointless. And
now you have the life Jesus
made. I think that's the point.
Yeah, now I've got, you know, married to my best friend and I have two ridiculously awesome kids that I get to wake up and see every day. And then I get to go about the work that God made me to do, even if I don't do it well. And even if it's really hard and wears me out, it's like, if I'm not doing this, then I'm miserable because I know I'm missing out on the thing that I was made to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't know how they took that, but it's like, you know, it's like we have those interactions a lot. And I think, yeah, that's that authority coming with that. So I think that people want authenticity in expressions because it's a connection to something that's real and meaningful. And we talk about that, the desire to know and to be known.
Well, and authenticity, like we've talked about this before, that, you know, that's just – it's something that this generation doesn't see a lot of. I mean, if you just look
at – They crave it.
Yeah,
that's the interesting thing. And they all try – they're trying to fake it.
There's so many
– They're really trying so hard to be authentic that they're not.
Well, that's what the generation sees, and that's what the kids' upbringing and everything around them they see is something that's not backed by, you know, the actual power. Like, okay, so they go to church and they do this, they do that. They don't see what happens in Scripture, so they immediately don't feel like it's authentic.
Right.
And to me, authenticity comes from surrender.
Right.
When you surrender to Jesus and you just become who He made you to be. That's the only time you're going to really be authentic.
Yeah, well, no, because that's you're humble and you're transparent and you're walking with Him.
Well, you give yourself up.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's basically.
I think people are wanting to be authentic without giving themselves up. They're like, oh, look at this creation I made of myself. Isn't it cool?
I'm going to try and be authentic by being what I think people perceive as authentic, which is a total sham.
Right.
Right. I had that conversation with our friend Paul yesterday about hipsters.
Did you?
I was like, the difference is that hipsters don't do anything.
Well, I mean, I see that. In a lot of people that come through our ministry, just trying so hard to be what they think other people expect them to be, and they don't know how to handle the group of people that are there who've, I guess, gotten over that,
you know,
gotten past that. They're just like, hey, this is who I am. Well, you know, they're trying to figure out whether I'm for real or not, you know, and reading their biases and their own projections onto me and onto my wife, and it's like, no, this, what you see is what you get. This is right. who we are. No pretenses, right. just here.
And yeah, like authenticity is basically rooted in identity. So, you know, to be authentic, I don't know, in my own experience, it's like I had to be rooted and grounded in Christ and have my redemptive identity in Christ before I could be authentic.
Because that is who you really are, and the only way you can be authentic is to be who God made you to be. Exactly. Nothing else.
Yeah. So yeah, with all that said, I believe that godly creative expression is done with authority. So we're, like we were saying, we're expressing what we've seen and what we've heard and what we've experienced and what God is doing and what he's saying. And again, like that verse from 1 John, it says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So same sort of idea. So as we walk in ministry, we come to know God and ourselves and our brothers and sisters. And that last one is really a big deal, because I think a lot of people want to have this like spiritual life in a bubble where it's like, oh, me and God and good feelings. And it's like,
well,
no, it's
that
about
all the time when I was teaching Sunday school and membership classes. It was like, well, I'm just working on me and God right now. Well, then you're missing the whole picture.
I know. And it's there's this real depth of relationship and working together. And that word we talked about, that homothymedon, that word that's translated one accord, it's this rushing along together. You know, it's the kingdom, family, right? This bigger thing. It's not just you. It's this whole other organism, this group of people that's
right,
connected.
And that's, we've talked about this on other shows, about the corruption of the modern gospel, which is that personal savior, which only came out about 100 years ago. And it is a total corruption of the gospel. It's a tear Satan's sown, because there is no such thing as a personal gospel. There's no such thing as a personal savior. There is a gospel that unites a group of people like a body that have need of each other.
Right.
That's what's shown in Scripture.
And that's what I was just thinking about was, you know, the person who secludes themselves is, I'm just working on me and God. Well, it's that hand over there saying, I'm going to figure out how to see. But this guy over here's eyes, you know. And
no,
like,
it's exactly
not gonna work.
That. It's really frustrating, too, because that gospel, that false gospel, permeates the church today. You know, the personal gospel, which was Charles Tenney and Dwight Moody, who basically wanted to make it easy to have crusades in America. And an easy way to count whether or not we're successful. And it's just not the truth. So therefore, because of the way that church is done in America, you can't have the body the way the body's described in Scripture, because you have all of these parasites, unbelievers,
and
class structure.
You're also cutting off everything else we've been talking about tonight with, if it's just you and God, then you're not looking at everybody else's
expression.
Yeah, you're not looking at everybody else's expression of the truth of God, and you're not using what God's given you to express
and
the truth of God.
Right.
So you're not speaking and you're not listening.
Right.
Right.
I agree with that. I met with a guy this week, didn't know who he was. He called me and said he wanted to meet with me, and we had a talk, and we were talking about the church. And, you know, he was like trying to understand my viewpoint on the corruption of the modern American church with their open worship service. And I just asked him, I said, you know, how many classes of people do you have in your church? And he's like, I don't understand what you mean. I said, well, you have a class system in your church. You have unbelievers who attend very occasionally, and they're treated one way. And then you have the holly lilies, which come on Christmas and Easter, and they're treated in another. And then you have the regular attenders, and they're treated in another. And then you have the members, which actually go to the process of becoming members, and they get certain rights that the others don't have. And then you have the tithing members, which then get to run the church. I said, how many do you have? And it never dawned on him before. But that's what we do in the church, is we segment and we class and we separate, and then we teach people that it's a personal gospel, and it's just destroying the body of Christ. So why would anybody listen to anybody they don't want to? They only listen to the people that tickle their ears. And isn't that what's prophesied in Scripture, that that's going to happen? And obviously it is. Well, here we are. We're living in it today. So what's next? Judgment? Probably.
Yeah.
So let's express that to everybody creatively, right?
That's right.
I think I just did.
I was like,
so here I am. I'm an artist.
There we
I'm
are.
Painting a picture for you. That's what I do. I do it with these words, and that's the way. And I got to thinking about the musical side, because I, you know, everybody that's listened to the show knows I've written two songs, and that was it. That's the bulk of my – but think about what those songs were. Both of those songs were sermons that you guys put to music. That's really what they were. You know, Hear My Send Me and Isaiah 61, the anthem, they're both sermons. They're both the message of Reformation, could have been preached from a pulpit, and you guys put music to them. So I still haven't written a song, as far as I'm concerned.
Cool.
Tough.
Whatever.
But I got some other sermons you might want to put to some rockabilly.
Yep.
One of them even has lepers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fired wow. brimstone.
All right. No, to focus on one sort of creative expression, music.
Did I throw you off there? I'm sorry.
It's closer to us. No, I'm trying to figure out how to move on. So,
can always do the next song and commercial break.
Everything. Well, no, I haven't set the next song up, so I have to actually go in there in a little bit. So, this bigger vision, right, for why would you bother to create? So, you could certainly, like, just take a psalm and add some chords and sing it.
It's been done.
Right? Or you could just, you know, write a phrase, God's really great, and repeat it a bunch of times. And I don't think that there's anything inherently wrong with that. Like, if that's really what you're feeling, then that's great. So not necessarily criticizing that way of making art, but we're talking about motivations, right? Talking about this outpouring of your heart
and inspiration.
Yeah. What's bringing it? What's the cause? What's the reason? Why did you bother to get up and go to that guitar and sing a single word?
Was it because spirit moving?
Right. And was it because you wanted to fill some dead space in the air, or was it because God's like, hey, this is who I am.
Right.
And you're like, wow, you're right. So I think, you know, like we're saying, there's so much power when the work of art, the expression comes from that person's own walk, comes with authority.
You just think like, okay, so Keith Green is very prophetic in a lot of things. So like he's, you know, obviously a very capable musician, and he had concerts, was known for concerts, just like, you know, like tent concerts or whatever. And he just set up. And then you just think about what stirred in him before those things, like to write those songs. And you know, there was one time where I think somebody told me they went to a concert and they said hi to him. And they're like, what did he say?
No, so it was on a documentary about him. And he's, you know, at his piano and he's greeting the crowd. And he's like, hey, why'd y'all come here today? And they're like, blah. And he's like, I hope it was to hear what Jesus had to say, because that's why I'm here.
Yeah. So, and what stirred in him was, you know, through his gifting. It's like his prophetic gifting, which brings correction and big vision. And that's what was stirring in him. So that's what he expressed through his music.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it's directly related to what God's doing and how God's speaking through you.
Yeah. So, you know, so I think there's power when, you know, so David, you know, when he's coming to the end of himself and he's asking God, why do you even care about me? After all his struggles with trying to figure out the world, he's like, okay, God, you care about me, and I don't understand why. Or when, you know, we talked about the woman in the Bible, when they're just overwhelmed with God, and then they have to sing about
right.
it, you know? Or, you know, we already talked about people, you know, they just get to this point where they got nothing but God.
Mm-hmm.
So this vision, so what is the vision? What is the vision of creative expression in a godly way? I'm going to let you talk about that while I go help Ali out with the song.
Well, I'm going to say that it's going to depend on what God's doing in your area of the world.
Right.
That time frame of his kingdom.
Right.
The creative expression is going to flow with what God's vision for his church is at that time.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, and I think that it's basically what God is doing. So it's how God is expressing what he's doing. You know, if you actually get down to what is the redemptive creative expression, it's how God is expressing what he's doing and who he is in that day and age. So, which is different in America than it is in closed countries across.
Right. The interesting thing is the way that we do things in America now is that we're listening to 20 and 30 year old Christian music, right?
Yeah.
So is that still what God's doing? Or is it for entertainment value? Or has the church robbed itself of a voice of God because they confused it with too many messages?
See, and that's what really drives me, too, because like one of my biggest influences.
Well, do you think that's true or not?
Yes, I do. Okay. And one of the biggest influences of that, like that has inspired me a lot, are artists like Derek Webb, where it's like just recently he makes stuff and it's very prophetic, and it was stuff that was
relates
also
to what we're doing.
Was also backed up by, you know, what Terry was preaching originally, and it's like it was all like right there, and God was speaking to me through that. Part of the reason that I felt the call to come down to the city.
Mm-hmm. So what drives me crazy is that the church doesn't realize what it's missing by doing music the way it does music.
Right.
Because
God is trying to creatively express to a congregation of people what he's doing, and his description for how to do that is in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about everybody comes with a psalm, a hymn, a song. And because we don't allow that, we basically cut off the voice of God in lieu of a entertainment quality voice that we presume is the three songs we're supposed to hear this week.
Right.
And that, to me, drives me nuts.
Yeah. God, you can only speak if you're going to do it through one of these songs.
Dressed appropriately.
Right.
In
right.
jewel tones.
Yeah,
all songs registered with CCLI.
Got to have it.
You know, and I think the sad thing is that there are a lot of churches that are turning to arts now, but It's, and I don't know, I don't have a bunch of firsthand, you know, experience with that, but it's still within that setting. You know, it's still limited within that context
and control.
Those walls.
And when it's controlled, you know, is when it loses its revelatory ability or power or authenticity.
Right. And I think that it almost becomes devalued because people, it's, you know, okay, cool, I'm going to go to church Sunday morning. Oh, band up there on stage. Wow, that was really great. You know, it's like the end. And it's like
some really good
musicians.
Some
of those people or artists or whatever might be legitimately creating very powerful, moving stuff, full of the spirit at his inclination. And I think it gets cheapened because of that context, because of industry, because it gets so confused with
because
entertainment.
Because of the show.
So
right,
let me just throw something out there. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, who are the prophets mostly talking to? Most of the time, they're rebuking leadership.
Leadership, yeah.
And authority. So if leadership and authority controls the creative expression, who's getting rebuked now?
Right.
Nobody. Nobody's getting rebuked because they're controlling what's being said and what's being done. And they're the ones that it's usually the message is for because they're leading the people off course. So now that we remove prophetic rebuke and creative expression that can bring correction, now who's correct? Nobody's correcting anything. It's basically they're running at their own will in their own direction and saying, well, God told us to do this.
Yeah.
And it contradicts scripture, logos. And when I say you contradict scripture, I don't care who you think told you to do it. It wasn't God because he doesn't contradict scripture. So whenever they're like, oh, God told us to plant this church here, it's like, well, God never told you to plant a church like that to begin with. So he couldn't have told you to do it here because you're not planting it the way that God says a church is supposed to happen. So therefore, you're wrong. Something's going on. You've got an error of philosophy that you're not even – you're starting from the wrong place. You're starting from a place saying, I already know, I already am, I'm already following what God's doing, so therefore everything after that must be coming from God. And I say you need to back up and reexamine.
Yeah.
So are we going to do another song in a commercial? Because
so
if we are, we should do it now because we're going to run out of time.
I understand. So perfect place to do it because it's Sean Groves. We talked about him earlier, and the song is Blank Page, which Mark Sanford was like, oh, I got a perfect song, and I listened to it. I'm like, you're right. So if you didn't listen to anything we said, you could, you know, you could just listen to this song, and he says it all in like 4 minutes. Hey, we have free books available. One of our hosts, Dr. Tara Goodwin, has written 3 books exploring God's design for the church. The first is Disciple-Driven Church, The Coming Reformation, which is essentially what went wrong and what not to do. The second is Being the Church, Planting Faith Communities in a Postmodern World, which is essentially what to do and includes lots of testimony of the journey God has taken us on out of the traditional church structure and into the streets and desolate parts of our city. The book also includes a Bible study that you can do by yourself or a small group of friends. The third book is The Disciple Maker's Handbook, Reproduction and the Disciple-Driven Church. It is essentially how to do what to do. It's a guide for how to get started with discipleship based on lots of examples of Jesus and his disciples and what we've learned along the way. You can download all of these for free or purchase physical copies in the Sun Ministries online store at sunministries.org/buy. How is urban renewal, church reformation, and reformation of the arts the same thing? And the urban renewal thing, for those of you that haven't listened to other shows, we are...
You've missed out. We're not going to tell you about
it. Wholeheartedly involved in a work of restoration in the inner city. And
wait, what?
We are.
What?
So...
How can this
be? Here it is. Big thing. So it's basically, how are these things the same thing? Is that they're all the culmination of everything we've been talking about the last 2 shows. It's going back to God's patterns, back to a real relationship of walking with God, not just talking about him, of being filled with his spirit, which is the thing that Jesus came to give us, and to walk in his ways. Just like, you know, if we say we love Jesus, we should walk the way that he did.
Got to obey his commands or you don't love him. That's what he said.
So when we are in line with God's ways, we are declaring his glory, right? So we're declaring who he is, that he is our Lord, that we are, and we are declaring his divine attributes, just like his other creations. And we become salt and light here on the earth. When we do that, we will be ministering, right? Because that's what he wants us to do.
Right. And I think too many people struggle to try and define ministry in modern American church terms.
Right.
Because that ministry is just expanding God's kingdom.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, whatever form that takes.
Right.
But to expand his kingdom is to bring people back under his authority, filled with his spirit.
Yeah. And that might look like you laying on your side for 3 days, or it might look like taking care of a widow.
But I can't count that.
No, you can't.
Well, I count the days, but I can't count.
So,
Converts, man.
How can this be?
I'm sorry.
You will be serving the afflicted and proclaiming freedom, as Isaiah 61 states, which is a verse that we quote pretty much on every show. So when we do that, when we're ministering, right, and walking with God, our hearts are full of the good things of God, and that overflow pours out of our mouths and our varying abilities to express creatively, whether that's music or what have you, or even
preaching.
Yeah, or like the other things we talk about, where it's just a manifestation of his will, like stewarding things like Joseph did, or, you know, preaching, yeah, or whatever.
I mean, I even want to look at, like, the way that, Mike and Rob are working with the things they do know how to do with their hands.
Right.
And and they're giving skills to other guys around them that don't have them.
Yeah, and when I look at people like Joseph in the Bible, you know, same thing as long with those guys, but also, I'm going to use this term, but I'm using it really, really loosely. But like, you know, community development or whatever, you know, looking at areas in a city and saying, God, okay, what do you want me to do here? And he's like, okay, we'll put a business here or do a training here or do whatever it is or plant a garden or redo this thing.
If it's his will and if it's something he's moving in, it's like, boom, there it is. You know,
right.
That's,
and I think that's just another thing that God can do. That's a manifestation of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, with all this expression and whatnot, the only reason any art exists is because we have seen our Lord, we have walked with him, we have become co-workers with Christ, and either we can't help but express it, or we so desire to do it that we're moved to action.
That's the only reason that creative expression should exist.
Yeah, right.
Because the other reason that creative expression exists is because there's this innate need for us to be understood and to know God and to be known by God.
And there we are, full circle.
Right, exactly. And and the fact that it's not filled by God makes you look for it in other ways and express other things that are basically self and flesh and idols. So there's two sides of that creative expression, the one that's God-honoring and fulfilling, which should only come at the assistance of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And then there's the one that comes out of people, which does not declare the glory of God.
Right. Well, I was saying, like, in that godly context.
Yeah. I just want to clarify.
So we have on the show discussed at great length the need for reformation of the church in America. So in short, the church has left God's patterns, has become a friend of the world, holds tightly to traditions. It's tried to wrap Jesus around the American dream, and that dream ultimately is very self-centered. And we took our music along with us. We just got done talking about that. So the Christian music industry is simply industry. And this mindset permeates much of what we do, much of what American Christian culture produces, whether it be t-shirts or prepackaged VBS teachings or program ministry. If we leave that world and align our hearts with God's, then we will find ourselves in the trenches of spiritual warfare and shoulder to shoulder, not only with our brothers and sisters, and we talked about what a big deal that is, but with Jesus himself.
Yeah.
And that results in the restoration of the inner cities, because those are dark places.
Well, I think that whole idea of being alone and it's just you and God, I think that people miss the point of Jesus saying, where two or more are gathered together, I am there.
Mm.
He's communicating to you that his intent purpose is for you to be with other Christians.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay?
So if you're not going to be with other Christians, your assumption is he's always with you. He's always there because you want to hold on to one Bible verse out of Hebrews that he'll never leave you nor forsake you and whatever.
Yeah. And if you're missing that, you're missing most of the New Testament. Just read the thing. So – And all this, it results in the restoration of the inner cities, right, where destruction exists as a result of the church failing to remain a set-apart people zealous for good works. So when we live with them, we humble ourselves, which is a really big deal, instead of exalt ourselves like the creators of Babel did, right? Then all this stuff starts to come together. And what we build and create and express become declarations of who he is and what he is doing.
Well, think about what a lot of churches build and create and express to a community has more to do with who they hired to preach and what building they all meet in than what they're actually doing to the gospel. Your wife, Mark Stanford, had this Peanuts cartoon that she liked on her Facebook that somebody did about, you know, being a country of Christian values.
Oh, yeah.
And it was hilarious because it was always talking about all these different things that are clearly biblical. And it was Linus and Lucy, I think. And basically Lucy kept saying, no, not that. 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 He's like, well, then what? And so, well, you know, opposing gay marriage. and that was it. And it's just like, it is so true that, you know, we miss all of this stuff that's so clearly what we're supposed to be doing because it costs and because it requires sacrifice and because it's uncomfortable and because it's difficult and because, you know, it's people that you don't
show
want.
People that we love.
And then we stick to the things that we feel like we can make a point on that, you know, maybe, you know, God would agree with.
Yeah, it's like what God, you know, said, I'm moving past the law, I'm moving into grace, and grace is nothing but you're dead now, and now you have to live as a sacrifice, and my spirit will be with you, filling you, moving through you, giving you gifts, doing real ministry. And it's like, that's how it works. If you're going to stay under the law and just say, well, that's sin, that's sin, that's sin, you shouldn't do that, then that's you get the fruit of the law, which is death. Congratulations.
And I missed it for years, and I don't even know now how I look back how I missed it. But it's so obviously clear that not only do you have to die to yourself and you have to live for other people and you have to do it without storing up treasures on earth and without, you know, any of your possessions being your own and all of those other things. And we're just not seeing it in America. Everybody's storing up for themselves. Everybody's counting their own. And, you know, whatever Josh Garrels says, you know, I protect my 90% with my guns. It's true. That's really where we're at in the church today.
I see that all and, over the place.
And it's not a good picture, and it's not a godly picture.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think we only got like 2 minutes. So you want to do – which one of your questions do you
want? I just wanted to say just in one sentence of some, it's like when we return to God's patterns, we will be loving, we will be expressing, and we will be living – the church the way that he designed. And that's really what it comes back to is you're with God, you know him, and you're walking that way.
Right. And what will be expressed will actually be true.
Right. So some questions. We have 2 minutes. So
do the big deal about vision.
Right. That's a good one. So what is the big deal about having a vision with your creative expression?
Well, without a vision, the people perish.
But what else?
Hey, did you just say, let's do that question because I asked something?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not a problem.
No, but that's hyper quoted. So
it is.
That's good. But it's a big deal. So one of the things, and which I'll just quickly
answer.
Dude, that
comes back to Rhema.
Yeah, it's a quick answer. So I mentioned Sean Groves earlier and Beautiful Eulogy. We played them last week. Those are two artists, I would say, that have a vision behind their music, and they accomplish it. And when they do that, I think that they declare very effectively some really good and really true things, and they do it with authority because they're living what they're declaring. That's all I really got to say
about
that.
Well, I think a vision gives you credibility because – look what happened with us. God gave us a vision, and we went down, and everybody thought we were completely crazy because we said, hey, you know, this is what God's going to do in the next 5 years, and because this is what he told us he was going to do. And here we were 5 years later, and it's all happened. Now, all of a sudden, there's credibility.
Right. Yeah.
Because it shows that you believed God and that you were sacrificing everything in order to go do this thing God was doing, and God obviously did it because we're just a bunch of goofballs. How would we have gotten all that done
exactly
in 5 years if God wasn't in it?
But that's also how you gain authority is by walking in that and then God does what he said he was going to do through you.
Enough.
And it's like now when we say this is what God's doing, people are like, oh, that's probably true.
Pretty much everybody that God's used in that fashion have all been goofballs.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing, and it goes back to that kind of primal thing we mentioned with creation and with Babel is that, you know, without that vision of I'm going to be with God and express God or whatever, then you're basically saying, well, I can express for whatever reason. I can point, you know, the show lights at me. I can say, this is me. This is why I'm important. This is whatever. And it really, you just set yourself up to fall into all those same traps, to fall into the temptations of the industry, to fall into just whining about your sin. But instead of saying, God, where are you? You know, I want to speak that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what we're going to do next week.
Me either.
But it's going to be exciting.
So tune in.
And we're going to, change it up a little bit. But as for this week, it's been nice having y'all here.
See you later next time.
The Resistance is hosted by Dr. Terry Goodwin, Mark Sanford, Jason Callahan, and Mark Goodwin. Our theme music is The Resistance by Josh Garrels and is licensed by Marmoset Music. This episode of The Resistance Radio Show was originally broadcast live on KXEN 1010 AM in St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you for being a part of the Resistance. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from our feed at theresistanceradioshow.wordpress.com. Find us on Twitter at Disciple Driven, or on Facebook at facebook.com/DiscipleDrivenChurch, or on our website at DiscipleDrivenChurch.org. To learn more about our missionary work in the inner cities of America, please visit sunministries.org. You can email us directly at terry@DiscipleDrivenChurch.org.